Welcome, and thank you for listening to Optics in Action, where we showcase leaders with vision and clarity. My name is Ryan Weiss, founder and CEO of EPS. Our team is focused on enabling companies to align people and process for increased revenue, profitability, and scalable growth, while reducing the frustrations of your employees and customers. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. Let's get to our next guest. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Optics in Action, where we spotlight business leaders with vision and clarity. And I am so honored today to have Dr. Donna Marino. Dr. Donna is an executive coach and a psychologist, and I've known her over the past couple of years. We've interacted in some different settings, and I thought it would be really impactful to have Dr. Donna on the podcast today to talk a little bit about the psychology and executive coaching that she does. As all of our audience knows, we talk about the intersection of people and process. And so I think that Dr. Donna brings a lot to the table in regards to this. So welcome, Dr. Donna. We're excited to have you.
Thank you so much, Ryan. I'm excited to be here and appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Awesome. Thank you. So I always like asking guests right out of the gate, why do you do what you do? What's your purpose? What gets you excited about this? Why do you do what you do?
Oh, great. You know, my particular sect is working with family businesses, right? And with leadership. And my story is kind of interesting. I lost my father in 9/11. And that made me really committed to putting out positivity in the world and impacting as many people as I possibly can. I think about it as much bad, I guess, went out into the world that day. I'd like to counter that with as much positivity and creating leadership that cares about their communities and their people. And so I wanted to work with leadership, and I wanted to work with family because that is something my dad so instilled in us, just the importance of family, the loyalty, the having each other's backs. And when I saw family businesses that were, you know, the families were breaking up, there'd be an argument in the business, they'd end up in legal, they'd end up not speaking to each other. And I knew it didn't have to be that way. And, you know, that was the give back I felt I could make.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that part of your story, so I'm sorry to hear about that loss. But the positive impact you're making, looking to make as a result of it, is really powerful. So thank you for sharing that. That brings a lot of context to what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I think making an impact on the world in a positive way is really meaningful. It's more than just, you know, the money of family business, right? There's in family business, there is the money, but there's also the emotion and conflict that can come out of these things, especially in the second and third generation or beyond. So I think it's really powerful what you're doing and why you're doing it. So I'd love to hear more about kind of what does that look like when you get involved with a family business and helping them to navigate it? As a psychologist, I imagine you're trying to stay neutral, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm assuming too much. What does that typically look like when you're getting involved with a family business and starting that engagement?
Yeah. You know, family businesses really do hire me for all different kinds of reasons, from, you know, succession, which, as you know, can be really rocky, scaling, growing their new leaders, both family and non-family members, maintaining the culture of the family business, especially as they expand. So it's really a variety of issues, but coming in with that psychology understanding about family dynamics and people dynamics. So it's a different lens that I can offer, and both the combination of being an entrepreneur myself, being a business owner, and understanding those family dynamics is really powerful.
I imagine. Do organizations typically, like, and I know you've kind of mentioned a few things there, would you say it's more common that people bring you in sort of on the positive side of, hey, we're looking at this growth and we're looking at this generational transition and we're, you know, like, is it more on the positive side? Or do people, when they make that first call, is it more because there's a conflict? And I'm just curious, right? Out of, what propels people to realize that they could use your help?
I guess it's about 50-50. And of course, the proactiveness is easier to work with, right? They see the advantage. They want to make sure things go smoothly. They have a commitment to family first. Or, you know, one of my clients just, they scaled so quickly. They just didn't expect all this growth so quickly and recognize the need for management to be trained. You know, one of the things we do is take our really, you know, star individual contributors and put them into management, and they're totally different skill sets, and nobody really trains them for what that is. And so in this case, the owner was really, you know, there was some tension in one of the departments about how the manager was managing. So there was friction there, but it wasn't crisis, right? And so he recognized the need for someone to come in. And so I worked with that department first and helped them gel as a team and work through that conflict. I worked with the manager individually to help develop those strengths. And then I moved into working with the whole management team and working with their individual issues, as well as getting themselves to see each other as a team instead of siloed. Yeah. So that would be an example of it being more proactive, but I do have people contact me in crisis situations where perhaps the owner didn't really have a plan, and then there's an emergency where they're taken out and family members are taking over the business, but they don't know how to work together. Yeah. And so it really can go either way.
Yeah. So, I could definitely see that. And working with different companies and, over the past several years, I've seen different dynamics where I could imagine that or reactively. Do you have a standard sort of process or a methodology that you typically use for assessing a situation, you know, kind of walking through solving those challenges? Or is it very customized for each client?
I would say first, it's very customized, but there is a general, right, process that I borrow from my years of being a psychologist, being my previous life as a therapist. So I really first engage in, you know, sort of an intake, right? You know, what's going on? What does this mean to you? What do you want to accomplish? You know, what goals do you want to work on? So starting with that very personal conversation to customize it. But then I do go into some standard assessments that I use. I tend to use a strengths assessment, a values assessment, because values are so important to individuals, but especially family businesses, making sure that there's alignment there And then I use a personality measure. So we go over those to kind of kick it off to understand themselves more deeply, but also understand why there is friction with certain people, right? If people have different values or different strengths, they can really rub up against each other. And even if they're too much alike, right? So it offers that deeper understanding of themselves and their teams. And then we go into whether it's individual sessions or group sessions, really, really attacking those goals. And it's a combination of problem solving, self-awareness, developing emotional intelligence. And that piece is really very customized.
Yeah. It makes the, everything you're saying makes a ton of sense. And I think I've noticed the sort of the generational transitions for a lot of companies. When it goes to the second generation, the founder often had all this intimate knowledge of everything that was going on, knew every employee's name, knew every piece of equipment, knew the technical stuff, knew the right, knew all of this stuff, and has it in their head or had it in their head. And then suddenly you're now moving towards, oh, there's, you know, a new generation that may not have that history and may not have learned some of those things the hard way when the business was smaller and the risks were lower. And now suddenly you've got a bunch of people that have to coordinate together. So, you know, I see it from the process side of the founder maybe didn't really have systems. They just did things that they knew what to do. And maybe their leadership team all just had stuff in their head. And now they've retired and moved on. Now you've got this next generation. And it's not that they're unintelligent. It's not that they're unmotivated, but they may not have some of the history and experience and those type of things. How do you see that from a people side, an emotional side of the founder letting go, the second generation taking that on, like the emotions that go along with that?
You know, there's so many issues that we could unpack within there. And just as an example, a client that came to me was, you know, having a lot of anxiety and didn't really know what it was. And we nailed it down to succession, yeah. Right? And so there's that piece that the founder or the most recent owner really has their identity tied up in that business. I always say with a family business, that's like another child. That is another family member. And so them stepping away is often very challenging. And as you said, there's things that are not documented. There's so many like unwritten rules and this is the way we do it, but it's passed on through word of mouth. And then you have that owner who really wants to see it done the way he did it. You have the new generation who wants to make their stamp on it. And how do you get them to come together and both value that previous generation's knowledge and how they made the business successful, but also value the new insights that come with that. Yeah. One of the issues that I see is digital marketing, right? The previous generation, like that's not what they did. And this is new and foreign and maybe doesn't understand why that's valuable. And then you have a new generation come in that's much more tech focused. Yeah. And, you know, marrying those pieces is one of the issues and helping them keep a strong relationship. Yeah. One of the things you mentioned that I did want to touch on as well is that one of the reasons, and there's other reasons, that businesses may fail in that typically third generation, right? That's what we see.
That's the magic right there, yeah.
Right? And it's because of what you were hitting on. They don't maybe have the history. They don't maybe have that taking it from nothing to something. Yeah. And so they may be relying too much on the past and not evolving enough. And they've they don't have that same experience of the same blood, sweat, and tears. And sometimes that separation of it kind of derails the business. And so it's very important to instill that history and that mindset to the next generation.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, there was a book title a number of years ago that caught my eye at an airport and I bought it. I don't remember all the details of the book, but the title itself was "What Got You Here Won't Get You There." And I think, you know, seeing this play out over and over again with organizations that go through transitions, ownership transitions, that go through these types of things, that blood, sweat, and tears that may have gone into, you know, the first generation not even knowing how to make payroll, and maybe even some of the leadership team having gone through some of that, where, you know, the money wasn't there to make payroll sometimes, that they were, you know, those types of things, for example, then lead to the second generation where presumably the business has become reasonably successful. Otherwise, the second generation wouldn't go into it, maybe. And then the third generation, maybe not even seeing some of that history. I think, you know, there is this sort of psychological flow that happens through that. And I think, like you said, the digital marketing and things like that, the new processes, new technology, new things, new ways of doing things, you want to have a balance of that appreciation of the past and where we came from, and let's leverage the future. If you don't leverage the future, if you don't leverage technology to grow for the future, then you may stagnate and die. And I think that balance is incredibly challenging, but there's also, I enjoy it, like navigating that with people and looking at what systems and processes might you update now that your business is scaled. For example, I've got a client that family business, second generation. When the first conversation I had with the woman that owns it, she talked about how her father had grown it to 5 locations, and then she kept growing it, and now it's at 10 locations. And the systems, some of the systems that made it to 5 locations didn't work as well when it got to 10. And it's that sort of next step of what are we going to do differently without letting go of the past? So there's definitely some emotional challenges, but also some technical opportunities and challenges that go along with that.
Yeah, 100%. I, especially in family businesses, see the lack of documentation of process. And it is just like that word of mouth kind of thing. It's like a game of telephone, I always say, and where it ends up, you just don't know. And then, you know, you have people taking shortcuts without the understanding of how to do it, or one person teaches it differently than the other person. I'm going through that right now with a client who, again, had a client who had rapid growth, and now they need to hire more staff, and they're running into these issues and nothing is documented. And, you know, that's what I'm pushing them to do, but that's not my role, right? I can help them through the emotional process and identifying those issues, but then I need to hand it off to someone like you who can help walk them through what does this look like and what's the why behind why we're doing this.
Why we're doing things, yeah.
That. Yeah.
That's a big deal. Understanding, it's one thing when an organization, when people document a process and they might say, well, we're going to document our finance processes, and the finance team goes out and documents their finance processes. But the reality is, in most organizations where I see them fall down of trying to document and pass it along and these type of things, is that finance doesn't operate in a silo. Finance relies on customer service and operations and sales. And if they're not interacting with all these other departments, they can create their own process of how they want to do things and how they would do things. But you've got to collaborate across departments. It's the same thing with operations, same thing with sales and marketing, same thing with human resources. Everybody's got to collaborate and work across departments. And that's one of the things, the optic system that we created is about, let's look at these systems, the flow of processes and systems through your organization, and then document the steps and the stuff that needs to happen. If you document process without thinking about the people, it's often going to just fall on its face, because you document a process and then somebody can't follow the process because they didn't get what they need from another department, and all of a sudden they don't follow the process anymore. And they go, well, yeah, we made that binder, we made that SharePoint file, but nobody looks at it. So there's emotions even in process, which is kind of funny to say, but we see it all the time.
Oh yeah. Especially like you said, if there's someone who, say, has been there 15 years and was under the previous owner, and now there's a change, there can be a really difficult resistance there to, why do we need to do it differently? And unless you know your why and can explain it and get the buy-in, it does fall flat on its face.
Yeah, 100%. Well, this has been awesome. I appreciate the insights that you shared with us today. How do people contact you, find out more about you, learn more about what you're doing? How can they get in touch with you?
Oh, great. Yeah. My website is drdonnamarino.com. My handle for LinkedIn is the same. And I just kicked off recently my own podcast called Courageous Conflict, which is about having these brave conversations. And we talk about family business and have different experts and family business owners and non-family members who work in the business to talk about all of these issues. So yeah, that would be great to connect.
Yeah. I love the title of your podcast, Courageous Conflict. That is, we had a leadership team meeting a couple of weeks ago with a client where there was some tension and there was some conflict and there was, and you know, after the meeting was over, there were one or two people who felt uncomfortable and approached the owner. And, but there were also some real benefit. The meeting that we had after that was so much more powerful and impactful because the elephant in the room was exposed and everybody's like, all right, well, let's figure out how to move past it. Without that being exposed, we just would have had another meeting and probably wouldn't have solved any issues again. So I love that. That's what the imagery that came to my mind when you shared the title of your podcast. I love that. That's really great.
Thank you.
So awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on this episode of Optics in Action, where we spotlight leaders with vision and clarity. And again, Dr. Donna Marino, thank you so much for being on a guest on the episode today.
Thank you so much. It's been a great time.
Thank you for listening to the Optics in Action podcast. If you are interested in the podcast, we welcome you to subscribe on your preferred platform, follow us on LinkedIn, or learn more at epsoptics.com. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. This is Ryan Weiss, thanking you for listening to Optics in Action.